Dave Warry, please quiet, please.
Father, we come to you to thank you for tonight. We do thank you for the goodness. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, is anything there, Lord, I pray that you loosen it up. My God, I pray that you be with the man of God as you give him the words to speak. My God, I pray what comes to our hearts, I pray that you give us ears to hear, my God. I pray that you give everybody the attention they need to hear what is being preached from that word of God tonight. The seriousness of the matter of the lost soul, the seriousness of the matter of that Christian that's backslidden, my God, they need to hear what's being preached. I pray that you bless us here tonight, continue to do your work that you're going to do, and we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we do pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 13 tonight. Some of you are still bound up. Can't get away from them. Amen. They're not yours to get out of. You need help.
Amen.
Amen.
But I know who can help. Matthew 13, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So they went to a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables. Now why did he speak in parables? So they could understand. He tells us later on, he spoke in this manner that they might have an understanding concerning the kingdom of heaven. Their eyes were closed. Their hearts were hardened. Jesus Christ is now well into his earthly ministry. They still don't believe he's the Christ. They do not believe he's the Son of God. But this is the parable he spake, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Isaiah 28 tells us of the plowman. I often think the plowman many times, and what we see is the sower. He has a purpose, for he tells us much about the plowman. In Isaiah 28 and verse 23, he says, give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. This is the wisdom God gives the sower. Does the plowman plow all day to sow? Yes, he does. You know why men today don't want to be plowmen? Because it's work. There's a labor that produces something, and they're lazy.
You're right.
They would hate for ministry to interrupt their golf game. And by the way, I know this is foreign to many sitting here, but their country club membership, their fellowship with breakfast on Tuesday morning with all the other local preachers, and they're just flat out lazy. They like the highest seats. They like the lauded seat in the marketplace. They like to be exalted. They like titles.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're just stinking lazy.
Oh, man.
And so therefore, they don't break up the soil.
Uh-oh.
But that plowman breaks soil all day. Why? It's preparation for the harvest. You got to have some foresight to look at a dirty field filled with weeds and rocks and thistles and see a harvest. And I believe many turn away because they know the labor it's going to take to turn that field. And that's what they shirk their duty. In the Philippines, last time I was there, I remember going on a back country road where the preacher lived. And he had a Land Rover, thankfully, otherwise the sinkholes and the potholes would have swallowed us in the road. He told us at one, he said, make sure you don't drive in there. If you drive down this road, he said, you'll lose the vehicle. I just assumed there's enough vehicles in there I could go through, but... But I marveled at their farming methods. Now, those of you never been to the Philippines, you may understand. I'm talking about a third world nation. They still live in abject poverty. And they still are ruled by tyrants. Most of them still subside on rice and a few vegetables. Life expectancy is still in the 40s at best. Usually ladies much longer than men. And you look at their farming methods, and what they do is they plant melons, and they'll take a hoe and they'll chop a little hole in the middle of the weeds, and they'll put melon seeds in the hole. What I also learned about farmers over there is they sit around and smoke marijuana all day. They drink liquor all day. And they go back every once in a while and make sure that nobody's stolen their melons all out of the field. And of course, thievery is so great in third world countries that most of the melons are stolen, but they get enough to buy their liquor for the day because they're lazy and they're indifferent. And such it is with most third world nations, such it is with the people in poverty. I didn't say poor, but I said people in poverty. Everything they touch seems to fail. Many of them, it's because they're just lazy. Many of us are not willing to get their hands dirty. The plowman, to be effective, let me just say this, he's going to have to get in the manure too.
Yeah.
And you're not going to find a man with a title that he carries that title that's ever crawled in a manure pit. We had the pleasure of spending some quality time with the Vadises, especially yesterday, a very special day to all of us at the Vadises. I got out there just in time to realize that John had finished digging out the septic tank, and I rejoiced at my timing. And he pulled the lid off the septic tank, and I saw the effects of the McVeigh family visiting. But I watched a man come out there in a truck. Big, nasty, stinky hoses. Big, nasty, stinky truck. Normal man. Nothing unusual, peculiar about him. Put on rubber gloves, connected the hoses. Started stirring up the muck in the tank. 4 foot of sludge in the bottom. And McVeigh's been coming here a long time. And he just pumped the tank as though it was normal. Gets down the bottom and you hear it sucking in the corners. And he's scraping and sucking and finally, somebody goes in, does a test run in the house, and we see everything rush out of the pipe, and things are back to normal again. And how many people really want to drive a septic truck? How many people want to be a septic repairman? How many people want to be a toilet cleaner? How many people want to work a piece of ground until it's ready to receive seed? One of the things I know for sure, God forbid, but we've ever had to look for a church. We've had to look for a couple in our lives. I want to look for a place where a man knows how to prepare the soil. Right. Because he's not lazy. Brother Rose and I were to meet Brother Allen. He spoke with Sammy, I guess, probably 15 plus years ago. And Brother Allen got in the glory. He's shouting, rejoicing, has people running. And the preacher says, well, all right, Brother Sammy, go change. Brother Rose, Brother McVeigh are going to preach. Brother Sammy said, I wouldn't sow seed in this wind. He goes, yeah, just go change your clothes. They're going to preach anyway. I don't know about you, Brother Rose. You remember, I mean, it's about the deadest I ever preached in my life. You know why? It wasn't time to sow seed. The field's not ready. That plowman must know his soil. He breaks up the clods. He has a way to plow. He has a way to get that field prepped. And then there's also, and I won't get into this now, but there's a way to plant the seed. Each seed he plants has a different application. Each seed he throws in that field or tosses in that field, he places in that field. Every seed is different because every seed is going to bring a different type of crop. But you know who knows that? The plowman does.
Amen.
The sower does. And the sower went out to sow. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Right. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Then he says, who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. How important is this? I'll tell you how important it is. As important as your never dying soul.
That's right.
Because he defines a couple of things. One, he defines the seed. He defines the soil. But then he defines the fruit. And modern religion has redefined what fruit is.
Oh. Right.
They call fruit what I would call vines.
Yep. Okay. Uh-oh.
They call fruit what I would call weeds.
Ooh.
You know what you do with an apple tree that after the third year doesn't blossom?
That's it.
You smoke chicken with it. You chop it down and you soak it in wood and you smoke chickens. And bake it. Then you wrap the chicken in the bacon. And throw the chicken away and eat the bacon.
We got a good preacher.
There's a lot of folks have what they call fruit in their life. But it's not what God calls fruit. Why? Because all they're looking at is they're looking at something green and saying, surely this is God.
Amen.
Of course, modern religion and most of the hyper-dispensationalists and easy prayerism today, they all preach that every one of these people got saved except for the one that had the seed snatched away. The reason why is because in their ministries, they see a little bit of green grass come up. They call that God, and then the person disappears, never goes back to church for 20 years, but somehow 20 years ago, they got saved.
Right.
And it's just contrary to the word of God. It's contrary to what the preachers talked about earlier. It's contrary to the word of God because the fruit of Jesus Christ is everlasting life. It's not a temporary fix. The lives change that we've talked about, that we saw an example tonight of the young man praying for his parents, changed lives and changed homes. That's not a temporary fix.
Right.
There's not an expectation that in 10 years from now they'll be back on the bottle again. That's not the expectation. As a matter of fact, it's not a qualification of salvation. Qualification of salvation is you don't go back to the bottle.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yes.
For drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's folks today that call everything God but God. They see that little form of religion formed in their heart. And one of the things I personally had to wrestle with, I wasn't lost knowingly for 10 years or 19 years or 5 years. And I wasn't out there actively seeking when I would have told you, yes, I'm seeking God. Yes, I'm looking for God. But I was reading my Bible. I was trying to pray. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to even study the Bible. But I was looking for some type of relief. Now, I know that bothers some people because you spent your life seeking, seeking, seeking. And then you get saved, you go, well, I actually wasn't seeking God after all. But when you claim you're seeking, everybody irritates you that says they didn't seek God. God was seeking us. Then you get all mad about that.
Amen.
The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yes.
I irritated some folks last year pretty good. Matter of fact, it looks kind of bleak about ever returning again. It's kind of common in evangelism today if you want to say anything about Jesus kindly. And they got upset with me because I just made this statement. I opened the message. It's, well, nobody here got saved because you wanted to get saved.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're just horrified by that. Of course I wanted to get saved. So Jesus Christ is obligated to save you because of what you want. That's a wonderful thing. Hey, I want $1 million. He's obligated to give it to me, right? Because I asked. All of a sudden now, oh no, no, no. No, that's the faith movement. You can't do that. But that's what they do for salvation. As though God's obligated to come off his throne and meet you on your terms.
Come
on. But yet the fact is he's not willing that he should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why is it should? Because all will not come to repentance, but they should.
Yeah.
The door is open. It's whosoever will.
Yeah.
He's made a way for all men to be saved. He tasted death for every man, but when they come through the door, no, they will not. Yet he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, what I found out after getting saved and reading the scriptures. Now listen, I've told people. And what I found out in this is that it was God, not me. Don't let that bother you. I said it was God, not me. He's the one that sent his son. He's the one that came into this world to save sinners. He's the one that's come to seek and save that which is lost. It was him. I was born not of the blood. I already had a natural birth. I didn't need a natural birth again.
Right.
I wasn't born of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. I mean, well, I wasn't saved because I wanted to be saved. I wasn't saved because somebody else wanted me to be saved. But of God.
Amen.
Can I say this without arrogance and pride? I'm an expert on the doctrine of salvation. You say, how could you be an expert? Well, I've experienced it. And that's a pretty good qualification. I told him, I said, I've studied the salvation inside and out. I've studied the faith of Christ, justification, sanctification, eradication. Not even in the Bible, amen. Studied it anyway. I studied all these matters. Studied Calvinism, Arminianism, Baptistic doctrine, halfway covenant, baptism, baptismal regeneration, the blood, faith. I studied salvation inside and out. Unless I had the process, sinner repents. He's drawn to Jesus Christ. The Father's wooing him and drawing him. The Holy Ghost is convicting him. The Son of God has died for him. Realized his need. I understood repentance. I understood the process of repentance. I understood faith. I understood the faith of Christ. I understood grace, bringing that faith to us. And finally, I got down to the bottom of salvation. You know what I found out? It's a miracle.
Amen.
And I still can't explain it. That bothered me for a while, my first. Because everybody's saying, well, did you call on God? Not particularly. In my heart, I did. I didn't want to cry out loud because I'd dip in. Don't that bother you? My dip wasn't sending me to hell. My wicked sin was. I don't give a get saved with a cigarette hanging out of your mouth. Amen. You get saved. Hey, listen, you might just go ahead and shout, rejoice anyway, flick some ashes, and finally quit smoking. Cigarette's not sending you to hell. Your lack of faith is.
Yes,
your unbelief is. Your wicked heart is.
Yes, sir.
It's a miracle of God.
Amen.
And I couldn't earn it. I didn't do anything to deserve it. It was the miracle of the new birth. You know how I found out I had that miracle? Because I got down to the bottom of my life and I looked underneath my feet and there was a rock.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Buddy, I got a foundation under my feet that's never going to change.
Yes.
See it?
Unshakable. Unmovable.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I waffle like the wind. But my rock doesn't move.
How about that?
Do you have that?
Listen.
That sower sows in unusual places. He goes out and sows. And listen, it's interesting that rock is just under the surface because there's a little bit of comes up in that dirt. He's been out in the muck. He's been out in the poo patch. He's gone. He's, if you know a better word, come and tell me. He's been out in the dung heap. He's been out there shoveling, raking, scraping, plowing, digging. And finally he says, you know what? It's time for the seed to be sown. You know what happens? In verse 18, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. The word of God is sown in your heart. But the wicked one comes and catcheth it away.
Yeah.
I believe it's why I said to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. He comes and tries to snatch that seed out of your heart. He tries to take that away from you that God's trying to sow. You resist him. And even he's like this, you watch people. Some of you, even today, you can tell me, you learn in ministry, you watch people, you can read people. You just got to be discerning, got to be honest, got to have integrity. Sometimes you'll misunderstand. Most times you don't. You're not going to get away fighting in a meeting. We'll make you stand up and kiss. Amen.
Yeah.
That bothers some people. We do that. Listen, I do that all over the place. You'd be surprised how many people refuse to kiss their wife. Amen. It's talking about a grief to God. They can't even get along enough for a meeting like this. Children are hellish. Full of devils. Folks bicker, fight, strife. Anything to distract. Anything to take away. Anything to keep that seed from going into good ground. There's things I've said tonight have already been snatched out of people's hearts because the devil is a master at stealing that seed.
You're right. Amen.
That's why we pray protection on these meetings. You pray that hedge around this building. Pray that he'd rebuke the devourer. Pray that he'd bind the strong one, that Jesus Christ could have his way in the house of God. That's why we rejoice. It's why we shout. It's why we worship. Trying to get that good spirit of God to mingle with us and to meet with us and to overthrow that wicked one, that his folks might hear the word of God in their hearts.
Amen.
He comes and he snatches that seed away. Look at verse 14. It is fulfilled. The prophecy of Isaiah was saying, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Yes, you hear the words, but you don't hear the word of God.
Amen.
Yes, you see the antics, the motions. You see Ronnie act foolishly. You see Chelsea weeping. Some of you get emotional because she cried. Some of you get emotional if a kitten cried. Some of you get emotional if you went, ouch. But you don't see the word of God. You don't see it by faith.
Amen.
God has to reveal that. God has to show that to you.
Amen.
But John talked about that stupor. So many folks, that spirit of slumber is upon them. I've heard many young men talk about sitting there just plain faced, acting like they're listening. They learn how to block out the entire message. They learn how to completely disconnect from the meeting. They will not hear the word of God. There's adults that do that as well. They disconnect. They do not want the pain of conviction. They do not want the hurt of conviction. They do not want the prick of the Holy Ghost. They do not want the cutting of the Holy Ghost in their heart.
Right. That's right. Amen.
That word of God comes from the sower and drops in their heart.
Yes, sir.
And all they do is let that devil come in and snatch it away.
Yes, sir.
Because of their slumber.
Yes.
They're half asleep.
Yes,
sir. Now in a meeting like this, we're all tired. I said we're all tired.
Right. Amen.
Don't come whining to me about being tired. Folks that labor in prayer, labor in supplications for you, labor in the word. Well, the Roseless family drove a great distance to be here.
Right.
Listen, I'm not. They haven't whined. They haven't complained. Right. They haven't said one thing about this. He drags his family and 1,400 pair of shoes for the girls up here. They come up here and she's homeschooling children most of the day. Has to bring all that along with them. Sit down and teach the children, instruct the children. You got all these rabid boys trying to go over there and meet the girls. Mother Rose out there with a shotgun, pointing it at them, hitting them with a stick. Amen. There's a stress and a strain in the labor. And then somebody sits there and stares off in the distance while you preach.
Oh, yeah.
Not hearing, not seeing,
right.
Not caring.
Help us, Jesus. Help us.
And the devil comes and takes that seed out of their heart one more time. And for so many, it's the last time. That seed will never enter their heart again. Their young people have been in this church, that they've walked away. That seed has never been sown in their heart again. Pastor talked about a young lady that just the other day. She paralleled another young lady we know. It's about 2 weeks, 3 weeks apart. They both pulled the same stunt. One of them, the parents are here tonight, and I want to be tender about it because they know. One of them's our dear friend down in Pennsylvania. Their daughter's come of age. Some boy's been wooing them and secretly meeting with, I said secretly meeting with them is out of hell. It's out of hell. Girls, you got a boy contacting you secretly, it's out of hell. He's got no business contacting you. He's not man enough to look your daddy in the eye. He's not a man anyway. He's just a pervert's what he is. Now watch those young ladies come of age where they can legally, their parents can't do a thing. Parents, I believe in most situations, try to call and try to contact. They said you can't do anything about it. They're of age. They're gone. They're out of the house. Next thing you know, they're married out of the house of God, down there living in sin, destroying their life. One young lady's turned to prostitution, turned to drugs, turned to selling her body. A young lady that used to write me notes when I preached and put them in my Bible, I still got one in my Bible. Brother McVeigh, I want to thank you for preaching to me. She said, I got saved under your ministry last night, and you've been a blessing to me, and I love you and your family. I still got that note in my Bible, and she's selling herself on the streets tonight.
Right, brother. Oh, my. Help us.
That's exactly right.
Seed's been snatched away.
Oh,
mercy. Never heard a word. Buying their time to get out of the house of God.
That's right.
I've dealt with mockers and scoffers my entire ministry. I've met with those that sit and mock, curse, hate God, scoff at God, laugh about the ministry, think we're crazy. But those young ladies never mocked. They never scoffed. They always presented themselves with love towards my family, with compassion towards my family. Tonight they're in sin.
Yes, sir.
Did they ever hear?
Good question.
Were they ever listening? Or did that seed that went to stony places receive the word? It's what he said. The same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy received it. Oh, he's saved. No, he has no root in himself.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I like those shallow root weeds. They're just a lot easier. That's what a lot of you got, just shallow roots.
Right.
You're plucked up so quickly. You may curse dandelions. You may like dandelions. I don't care what you do with them. I've seen dandelion roots a foot long. You get a dandelion, it might haunt you for the rest of your life. Because it has a root. Some just have no root. What do they have? They just have something green that comes up in the rain. I've told the story here many times, going out there in the deserts outside of Apache Junction after the rainstorm. Got out of Mesa, went out of Phoenix, Arizona, out of Mesa, out past Apache Junction, Saguaro cactus land. It rained the night before, one of those little tremendous storms they get in Phoenix once every 2 years. Almost like a hurricane, tornado, sandstorm. I don't even know how to describe it. It's so awful. The preacher drove us out. There's sand all over the road and grit all over the road. And they're using like front end loaders to trace sand off the exits. We get out in the desert. It's green. And it's pink. And it's yellow. Traffic jams. People go out to see the desert in full bloom. But it's almost like a camp meeting.
Uh-oh.
The next day, it's dried up.
Yeah.
Next day, it's all done. My friend P. Amos Cornelius said he fell on the altar at Youth Week some 5 years ago or so. Hit the altar right here on the run. Collapsed, laid there for over an hour. Got up, his knees were about broken. Couldn't hardly walk. He'd laid there so long, weeping, broken over sin. He said, just a couple weeks later, he was so ashamed. He was ashamed of embarrassing himself on the altar.
Yep. Right there.
Do you know what every preacher in America would have said?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think he got in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's
what he said.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's saved. I was in a meeting one time with Sammy Allen. He said, Brother McVeigh, come up there and pray with that young lady. I said, no, sir, I'm not going to pray. You can do that, Brother Sammy. Said, Brother Vernon, go up there and pray with that young lady. He says, Brother Sammy, I'll just pray here. Up there chomping gum, sitting on the altar, picking her toes. She was 8. Okay, it's okay. Amen. You're 22 after picking your toes, you got a problem. Not going to pray with her. But Sammy left her alone. There's another man dealing with her. He got up and she goes, she got saved. You want to go to Bojangles? Yeah, let's go.
Amen.
Say you don't talk like that. No, that's a true story.
Sure.
But what if you were wrong and she got saved? I'll repent for all of eternity. I'll run the aisles of heaven with her.
Yeah.
Because me not praying with her didn't affect it one bit.
Right.
Me going to the Bojangles didn't affect her one bit.
Right.
If she came in contact with Jesus Christ and got in,
right,
I wouldn't bother her one bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought you got to, don't you? Now, Brother Rose, you've seen the pattern. I've seen the pattern. And I'm going to tell you this, it's devilish most of the time. A little girl comes out of the altar and goes, don't let her pray alone. 19 young girls, look at, they all blow mascara, hug all each other. Sometimes they hug a whole lot too much on each other. They cuddle up at the altar. Mascara's running. They're blowing snot, you know. And they get up and they're all, they go to fix their hair real quick and adjust their makeup. And nobody ever says when they got right with God. Nobody ever confesses sin. Nobody ever says, I got saved with the grace of God. Problem is, she's about living like a whore. And she starts singing a song, a sensual song. It stirs in her emotions. And she runs down to the altar because she's been out there whoring around, lying behind her parents, talking to boys online, talking to boys through texting, out there selling her body, amen, pictures and everything else on the internet. And she runs down to the altar, 19 other girls doing the same thing, all go down and pray with her. And they go, oh man, God met with us tonight. That's a pattern.
Yeah.
Not God.
Right.
That's right.
And we can just pronounce them all saved. Well, God sees that mascara. Yes, he does. That's why they bat them eyes.
Right.
That's why they wink them eyes, read Proverbs. If somebody didn't get that.
Yeah.
Go home and read the book of Proverbs. Call me tomorrow, okay? You sing that song down south, he knows my name. And I was reading over the Psalms, and they use that verse, they quote that verse about him knoweth my name, not knows, knoweth, ongoing tense. And me being me, I went back and looked at it. I said, oh, that's Jesus Christ. They've stolen glory from him. Don't get offended by telling me the truth. Go read it. It's Jesus Christ. It's messianic. He knoweth my name. Why? He's the Son of God. What is his name? Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved.
Amen.
Down there in Florida, they started singing that song. A little girl in a miniskirt sitting there at the piano. Oh. Every old guy in the church shouting the victory. Had nothing to do with her singing or the song.
Right.
I was telling the girls up at the house early, it's amazing. The pretty girl sings, they shout. Ugly fat girl sings, they all just sit there. If you're wondering if you need to lose weight, see if the guys are shouting. They need a shout from me. Well, let's get on the keto plan. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm stating the fact. I've watched it over and over and over again. The shorter the skirt, the louder the shout. Three colors of hair. She loves the Lord so much. She started singing that song, He Knows My Name. And listen, on the second verse, it's always the second verse, never the first verse. Follow the pattern. She starts crying. Same place she cries every time on that song. She's up there sitting in a mini skirt. Ain't no godly girl ever had a mini skirt on. You just say amen. Yeah. I think she got leggings under tonight. Ain't no godly girl ever had a mini skirt on.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh. About 15 minutes, they're going to hijack the service. I don't know the pastor. I said, brother, can I just say a few words? He's up there weeping. Go ahead, Brother McVeigh. Go ahead. I preached 35 minutes straight. Finally, she got the hint and went and sat down. All the old guys tracking her through the church. Got down to the basement of the church down there in Lawdy, Florida. An old coonskin cap, gator licking, rattlesnake fighting old good old boy comes up to me and the preacher said, preacher, I'm lost and going to hell. I said, well, sir, you need to get saved then. Fell down the tile floor right in front of us, weeping, sobbing, broke about 15 minutes, gets up. I said, sir, you got anything you want to say? He said, God just saved me. I said, good, go tell the world. He walked out the door and never saw him again. What we call fruit, God does not call fruit.
Come on, brother. That's exactly.
Tears are not fruit. Emotion is not fruit.
Amen.
Mocking again this week. Now, I did say mocking. Elijah mocked. I figured that's my life verse. I've watched a generation today, and they can't get people to move with the Word of God.
Yeah.
So they tell a sad story. Praise God. God's working in this place. I'm glad to be saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There was a little kitten. It got hit by a snowmobile. New York version, okay? Tennessee version. There's a little kitten. Got hit by a four-wheeler. I can preach it in Florida. There's a little kitten. Got hit by an airboat. I tell you, go further south to the Cuba version, but there were people on that boat, so. It just fits in anywhere. It's just emotion. That's all that is.
That's right. Yes,
that's all that is.
Amen.
Brother Rose, up here, this is how we tell stories like this. Boy, thank God. Listen, we're old timey up here. I like them beef on weck rolls. Amen. That's up here. I like that Boston cream pie. I like them scallops and butter. See, nobody shouts. All you do now south is preach, I like country ham. Place goes crazy. Woo! I've watched it. But out in California, like, thank God for frijoles. And the place goes crazy. Woo! And they call that fruit. Boy, God met with us tonight. Boy, the preacher was plugged in tonight. Boy, I tell you what, boy, we had us a time. Boy, I tell you, the power of God fell in this place. Preacher already said it. What about the changed life?
Amen. Yes. Yeah.
That's right, brother.
Bring it on.
That's right.
Can you be saved and not shout? Because I know you can shout and not be saved. I'm watching a generation die and go to hell calling everything God that's not God. I feel like the Lord impressed upon me too, and then just something off the wall crazy had nothing to do with God. You see that little bit of green grass, and everybody stands around and goes, it's growing! It's growing! It's growing! Woo! Put him in the baptistry, quick! Yeah. But then the sun comes up. Just like Saguaro National Park. The next day it's dead. I followed up with them decision cards at churches. They slammed the door in your face. One of my favorite stories in preaching, I don't tell it much because it hurts people's feelings, but went to follow up one of them decision cards. Big old 350-pound man, his daughter, probably 2-3 years old, comes to the door holding a cat by the back leg and hands me a cat. It's a good story, isn't it? I just kind of took the cat, like, laid it down here. He comes and said, "What you want?" I said, "The church gave me a card. You filled out, said you got saved on Sunday. He said, don't you ever come back here again. Don't you ever come back here again." But we saw green grass. Look, it's growing. I was just telling Brother Ronnie, he found some repentance this week. Thank God for. I was there going, "Brother, go ahead and pray." I wasn't like, right now. I cut him off. I didn't mean to. I was trying, like, "You finish your story and pray." But the Haynes said, "Be brief." You know, I was just going, "Go ahead and pray." And he's just like, "Whoop, whoop, so let's pray." So I feel bad, Brother Ronnie. But he found some repentance this week. He was trying to tell you that when I so rudely cut him off. I went, "That's the way you got to do it." He lived on an epiphany for almost 30 years.
Right.
I said, he lived on an epiphany for almost 30 years. I've seen a lady that said that God revealed himself to her because she had a little crucifix on her husband's desk. They were going through a hard time, and the moon came through the window, shone down upon that desk. That cross was illuminated, and she knew everything was going to be all right. And she's willing to take that to hell with her.
Oh, my.
You know, if you have this, everything's going to be all right. I mean, what do you need? I walked out in the concrete. I saw the shape of a cross in the concrete. And I knew Jesus was real. Well, I picked this up this morning. And I was, and listen, I was over in Isaiah chapter 12, 13, around, and I realized Jesus was real. And they think I'm the moron. They think I'm the fool. They think I'm the fraud. They'll die and go to hell.
That's right.
Because they saw a little bit of green. Right.
Yes.
When that sun comes out, where are they? How long did you last in your profession?
Come on.
I got two precious nieces here, and got another one that's not too great. A couple of them said, made a profession, then your last couple days. And then you're so ashamed.
Yeah.
So embarrassed. Said I got saved. Heard the lesser niece last night testify, not wanting to go to hell. There's a lot of folks like that. I don't want to go to hell. Let me get that escape ticket. Let me buy that ticket out of hell. Let me go down there and make sure that I'm not going to go to hell. So let me go and repeat that prayer. I don't want to die in my sins. And listen, 8, 9, 10 years old, you are scared of hell. By the time you're 12, 13, you could care less about hell. By the time I was 14, I was full of it.
Yeah, come on. Holy grace.
Not all of it's the preacher's fault. The problem is we've all been around bad doctrine.
Yes.
All of us. All right. It just permeates. I used to have to think, boy, I hope these people really get saved. But I hope this is real. It's just emotion. It's just dry. It's dead. It's just emotion.
Right, brother. Amen.
Yeah. Don't ever mistake your emotions for God.
Right. All right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Yet God gave you emotions. He makes you laugh. He makes you cry. You can be angry. Just don't sin. You have emotions because God made you emotional. You stifle those emotions, you'll wither up on the vine. You don't have to be emotional like me. You don't have to be emotional like Miss Chelsea back there. You don't have to embarrass yourself for anybody up there weeping, crying, shouting. But if that's all you got, you're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Remember, a lady went back in her bedroom. She kind of told us, or the husband. She went back in her bedroom, came back out, and she gave her testimony to church. She said, I went back and I wept and I cried and I blew snot, and I couldn't cry any more than what I cried. And I finally said in church out loud, they hated me for it, but I said, did you get saved? And she never answered. And they dunked her anyway and put her on the membership roll. And her husband fist fought. Finally, she left him. He returned to crack. She returned to prostitution. And I weep over people like that. Because there was no one to tell them, this isn't God. Not only did the sun come out and wither it up. Well, the word of the king understand that not that cometh the wicked one. That's he was received to be the wayside. He that received seed in the stony places, he heareth it. Jill with joy receiveth it. This is great. How many times have you heard that, Pastor? Oh, this is great. We love what's going on here. This is wonderful. And they get under conviction. We're not coming back. We're not coming back. Do you think singing in the choir is fruit? Do you know there's a donkey could sing up here?
Sure.
Amen. A couple of years ago, there's a whole bunch of them up here singing. Amen. You had a donkey director and a donkey choir. And we started out about 12 years ago. It sounded like donkeys too. Amen. Hee-haw, hee-haw. People used to go, you know, little old ladies that can't hear that. You all such a blessing. Nobody ever said, man, that was great. That sounded good. It was like, you all such a blessing. Thank God we got pretty girls. It'd be bad. Nobody would say amen. John Mark's wiser than he looks, especially now. He picks well. Amen.
Amen.
John Mark made a statement one day. I was talking about going to these churches where loaded with Jezebels, all painted up, 19 colors of hair, hair puffed up, looked like Ozzy Osbourne. I was on one singing group that came to a meeting I was preaching. And the preacher had him come preach. I told my wife, I said, that penis looks like Alice Cooper. My good godly wife said, who? I said, I'll show you later. I showed her a picture. She goes, honey, that's awful. She, well, yeah, a little bit. And I was going, and John Mark just, this is when he was lost, just blurts out. He goes, well, that's because they want to look like the women their husband like on their porn. I said, say that again. And of course, he's John Mark, so he said something totally different. But he said, they just look like what their husband's like. They want to look like the woman in her husband's porn. And she doesn't even know it. He's telling her to change her appearance, change her clothes, change her look. And she doesn't even know why. You go in these churches, you go, my wife at Cracker Barrel, Greenville, South Carolina. My wife's in a long dress, simple hairstyle. In Greenville, she feels obligated to wear a whole lot more makeup to fit in, but she didn't own enough to fit in too well. She didn't have a whole container to plaster on her face. And she didn't have a tanning bed close by. And she didn't have high heels or a mini skirt. And that's just from the good Baptist churches in town. We're walking down there. They're looking my wife up and down, kind of rolling her eyes, sneering. She felt it. And I realized the men are looking at me and sneering. Looking like cheap shoes, cheap suit. But they all love the Lord, don't they? Like some of you girls. Worried about what everybody else is wearing, what everybody else looks like. You're so covetous. You wish you could look like somebody else. But you love the Lord. If God made you ugly, just accept it. Because ugly's internal.
That's right.
I said ugly's internal. I know we don't believe that. But ugly seethes from within.
Yes.
And when you're ugly, you're ugly.
Yep. Mm.
Do you understand the word countenance in your King James Bible? It's the overall appearance of the face. It's a glistening countenance, a beautiful countenance. You see a lady get saved. It's amazing how it transforms
her.
And I'm saying that and treating the elder as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. It's amazing how it transforms.
Yes,
I walked up to my goofball niece last year. I stopped and just looked at her. I said, "You got it?" She goes, She asked me later, "How'd you know?" I said, "Because you can't hide it."
Right.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
God will take naturally pretty and he'll make you beautiful.
Oh, amen.
God will take naturally ugly and he'll make you beautiful.
Yes.
Now, he ain't never made a beautiful man yet, but you ladies, he'll make you beautiful. I got saved, still ugly.
Yes.
Amen. Amen, Brother Ronnie.
Yeah. You know it, man.
You know, in everything, give thanks.
That's right.
It's the will of God, right? Thank God I don't look like Ronnie Skull.
Yeah,
man. Okay, be clear about that. That's all over the internet.
Yeah, that's good
stuff. Then that seed falls in that soil. And it springs up. And everybody says, "Oh, this is wonderful." But it's the thorns. And they choke it out. Why? They hear the word. Heareth the word. Ongoing. They might even say, "You know what? I want this life. The cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. Choke the word." And he become unfruitful. Well, they were saved and just the old world got them. Well, Brother Ronnie started off our service with chastening. I'd hate to serve a God that couldn't keep me in line.
Amen.
He's so weak he can't correct me.
Yeah.
Don't you ever confuse his mercy and his long suffering with a lack of judgment. Just because it's not speedily executed, judgment's still coming. You see a generation today that they're godless and wicked, despising their parents, despising authority, despising the church. But they know Jesus. They love the Lord. Don't raise your hand, but you ever curse your father and mother? You know there's no sacrifice for that? Let them die the death. David found out about adultery. There's no sacrifice for adultery. He's to die. But who's going to kill the king? Who's going to kill the king? Nobody. So he threw himself at the mercy of God. Broken spirit and broken the contrite heart, God will not despise. A novice, Dale Morey, preached on a contrite heart. A lot of folks get that broken heart. They get all torn to pieces. But they will not bow their heart to the King of Kings, the Lord of Kings. The cares of this life just come and choke them out. The care of a husband, the care of a wife, the deceitfulness of riches. We talked about it all day last Sunday. That deceitfulness of riches just chokes out the word of God. And they never bear fruit. They become unfruitful. What do you do with an unfruitful tree? It burns. It burns. We planted a tomato plant, got it a reputable greenhouse, planted two of them. Did his tomato plants and planted them. They never produced fruit. The most beautiful yellow flowers you've ever seen. Beautiful. Tomato worms that big. Beautiful. I go out and admire that beautiful plant. I staked it up. I wasted money on tomato stakes. My time, my effort, my labor. I had so much invested, so when it never produced one tomato, I just said, you know what? That's a good plant anyway. There's no fruit, but it sure is pretty. Yes, sir, that's a good tomato plant right there. You know, I'll take the seeds from that and I'll plant them next year. Only there was no seeds. Because it didn't produce fruit. And the evidence you don't have fruit is you're not propagating. The deceitfulness of riches. He that would be, you can be poor and be deceived by riches. He that would be rich.
Yes, sir.
You see, you fall into that hurtful lust. Traps men, snares men. It just chokes out the vine. But he that receives seed into the good ground. Why? Because there was a plowman and a sower that prepared the good ground. He receives seed into that good ground. Is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. And beareth fruit. So what's the benchmark? Fruit bearing. Some 100-fold, some 50, some 30. Fruit. How do you know you're saved? Fruit.
Well,
you know, you can falsify peace. That's why I said, rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because you can falsify joy.
Yes, sir.
It's become the popular thing now. Folks give their testimony. I was filled with such peace. Well, there's a peace that passeth all understanding, but there's also a peace that is understandable.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And you can easily identify with that.
Yeah.
But I told people I had peace. Which peace?
Mark.
Not as the world giveth, so give I unto you. The world will give you some peace.
Right, yeah.
Not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can falsify anything. You can falsify a profession. You can falsify peace. You can falsify joy.
Yes.
You can falsify fruit. You see fake fruit that looks so real. In somebody's house and you see that orange. You wait for them to go in the kitchen. You try to peel it real fast into the table and they're not looking. Before you got saved, of course. You're mad because it's fake. You see those plums, those nice ripe plums. You pick it up, there's dust all over it. But look, I have fruit. Is that real fruit? Oh, yes. Said the crazy woman. Is that real fruit? Oh, yes. Said the crazy person. This is fruit. Bitterness is my fruit. Depression, anxiety, hurt, fear. My fruit. That's my fruit. It's just as real as yours. I got the same thing you got. If you live in fear, you don't. If you live with anxiety, you don't. If you live in a constant state of despair,
come on, preacher.
You don't have the same fruit I got.
Come on,
that's right.
Yeah, amen.
Preacher talked about that pastor. He said, Christian life is hard. And even when he said it, I said, oh my goodness. His grace is sufficient for thee. For his strength is made perfect in weakness. There's nothing God's ever brought my way that I couldn't bear, including temptation.
Amen.
It's fruit. Understanding. A good heart. There's folks here tonight that come from different walks of life all across the spectrum. There's little church girls in here and been raised in church. You've never cussed. You've never fornicated. You've never drank liquor. Never touched tobacco. Some never listened to rock and roll. These young ladies here have given themselves to drugs and booze and whoredoms, lies and deceit. Which one had a greater need? The sinner. The sinner, the one that's lost, the one without Christ. Which one has fruit? The one to get saved. Also, fruits and not drinking booze and being pure and not listening to rock and roll music? No. It's manifest in your life by understanding. God's book's open to you now. You can receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man couldn't receive them. And all of a sudden you go, oh, I see it. Now just in case the devil comes and tells you I'm lying, let me be real clear about this. All of a sudden when you go, oh my goodness, I see it. This book makes sense.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Quit. Yes, sir.
Where's that fruit? Let's take the intellectual approach. Let's still debate on the authenticity of the originals and the translations through history to bring us to this point where we can discuss the debate of the authenticity of the King James Bible and the authority of the King James Bible versus some of the latest manuscripts found in Israel or found in monasteries in Turkey. And let's debate the authenticity and we'll find out which one really is the Word of God. Or you can go to the church where God's word is preached and find people that have changed, that their lives have been made whole, their lives have been made different in Jesus Christ, and weigh that against intellectual authority. He makes wise the simple. And that's fruit.
Praise God.
He opens the Word of God to you that you can have understanding.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah.
He'll open your eyes to see, your ears to hear. I reckon there's folks that want to trample down your plant, especially your loud and obnoxious. A preacher. They'll do anything they can try to destroy just so they can say, look, look, there's nothing there, there's nothing there, there's nothing there. But the fruit's going to come out of it. God is going to unveil your eyes. And now you'll see things you've never seen. You'll hear things you've never heard. By the word of faith. Well, let's just summarize. Who's saved? Keep that understanding. He that bears fruit.
Amen.
We don't judge it by the greenery. We don't judge it by the size of the plant. We judge when that little tomato starts to form. It turns red. And it drops off the vine. And you say, there it is. I believe God. There's fruit in my life. All the differences is one place they can all meet. It's the cross. No place else to meet is the cross. You don't have to go destroy your life in sin, but the roast covered that last night. You don't have to go out and live wickedly. You don't have to run away from home, go marry wrong, destroy your life. You don't have to do that.
That's right. Come on, that's right. You know, buddy.
I was telling your pastor, one of the joys of these young people, and you listen real close to this preacher. I'm almost thinking about starting to maybe possibly think about finishing here. Don't blame me. I didn't make up the time. I tell you, I relish the day. If the Lord puts us here, when John Asmuth looks at me, and I go. I may grieve the Lord, but I'll apologize later. Or I say, Brother John, you just sit right there for a minute. He does the Pastor Hayne. Nobody ever did that Pastor Hayne ever until he came here. But hey, sit down right there. One of the great joys of life is watching young people in the house of God get born again.
Amen.
Watching old people get born again.
Amen.
Watching people get born again.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what brings me a great joy. I've had the privilege of going to the altar and asking two young people. They asked me to marry them. I said, well, hey, by the way, I'm 2 for 2. You find a preacher who's batting 100 in marriage, come talk to me. Just say amen. I bet I am 2 for 2 in weddings performed. They're still married, still having children. I'm batting 1,000. There's a couple of major league players have done that. Amen. They only played 2 games. 3 for 3, retired, done, perfect career. It's a great thing. I say, are you virgins? They both said yes. It's okay. Because I said, because I don't want to make an idiot of myself up there lying. And I'll get up and I'll tell them, this can be their first kiss.
Amen.
That brings me great joy.
Amen.
Yes, sir, brother.
I said, brings me great joy.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
I relish it.
Yes, sir.
I love it. Because they met at the house of God.
Amen.
But you got to get saved. Got to get born of God.
Yeah.
Let God put it together. Let God bring it together. I told your pastor, there's nothing young people in this church, in these meetings, get saved, get married. There's nothing they can't do with God. Get two spirit-filled individuals to walk together. Young lady gets born of God. Young man gets born of God. They don't have to be preachers. We got a few lady preachers, not many. We're not ordaining them, they just preach. Pastor Asquith asked them to, don't blame me. They come together. They live for God all their days. You want to change this country, that's how you're going to do it. Some young ladies want to be married. Why don't you get full of the Holy Ghost? Some young men want to be married, find a wife. Why don't you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Why don't you walk in the Spirit? There's no telling what God could do with the young people in this church.
Amen.
Young people in this building. And I'm not talking about little fancy romantic dreams and all that foolishness. I'm not talking about Hallmark and Amish romance novels. I'm talking about marriages for the glory of God.
Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
I love it. I said, I love it.
Amen.
And you don't have to be perfect. You just live for God.
That's right.
Spirit filled. Quit fighting. Love the Lord all your days.
Lord help us.
Don't tell them what God can do.
Amen. Amen.
The problem is most of you have no place to be married. No place to be married. No talent. Some of you ladies get saved. What God could do with your husband. No telling what some men get saved God would do with that family. There's just no telling. I walked in a Baptist church on a Wednesday night, lonely, despondent, depressed, sad. I thought it was my last day on earth if I didn't find a wife. ceremonially, customary, late, 12 minutes after 7. A young lady walked in. It was 12 after 7. I looked at my watch. Don't you dare correct that. She walked in, sat down in front of me. Now, I know you don't believe this, but the Lord said, there's your wife.
Amen.
You're going to choke on that if you want.
Amen.
Good brother.
You say, how do you know that? I said, that's my wife.
Good.
That's why I know that.
Yeah.
God do that for you. Get saved.
Sure.
God do that for you. Get right with God.
That's right.
It's not about money. You can listen. You can live. Well, you all sit in the front row. You can live in a room in Peter's house and be happy. Thank you.
It's a miracle.
Ladies, I hate to say it, you can maybe live with Peter and be happy. I doubt it, but you could. But you got to be saved.
Answer, Lord, help us.
I don't condone anybody lost marrying. Your pastor differs from me. I don't condone it. I'll just go, okay. You want to get married? Okay. I'm 2 for 2, remember? I don't want to bust that up. We watched Ricky in the audience. I remember Ricky came in our car. You said you changed gears. It's a parable of the sower. It's right there. Does he have the understanding? Ricky came to me and he said, Uncle Tim, can I talk to you about something privately? We sat in the car. Before he opened his mouth, I said, she's a nice girl, isn't she, Ricky? He just looked at me. We went down to Tennessee. A young man came to me. He said, Brother McVeigh, can I talk to you? I said, well, it's about Bethany, yeah. Not yours. Amen. He looked at me and goes, I said, son, it's all over your face. By the way, 4 children later, about 10 years being married, living for God, thank God for it.
Right. Amen.
It's not a pipe dream.
No, it's not.
It's just God has to do it.
That's right.
Amen.
And you got to be ready for it. You got to be prepared for it. You got to get in a position, and I'm going to say this real plain, where you cook and clean. That's all you got to do. He'll mow. He'll work. Problem is, there's not many young ladies out there bearing fruit. There's not many young men out there bearing fruit. Get young ladies that they're pining for a husband. And they're going, where in the world can I find one? Young men saying, where do I find a good godly wife? I don't know. Why don't you just get filled with the Spirit and find one? Live for God. Walk in holiness. Some of you had the best training in the world. By good example and by bad example, both. Why don't you take those things you've learned and walk with God. Have children. Raise them for the glory of God. I was scared to death to be a daddy. And I saw that ugly little bald head pop out. I thought I was going to die. And I didn't get to hold her for the first hour, but I took her up in my arms. And I said, well, this isn't so bad. Let's have another one. I think that was the second day. There's a lot of folks that, I just can't have children. But you can. You can raise them for God.
Amen.
You can raise it for the glory of God.
Lord help.
And you can bring fruit in your family. God can bear that fruit in your home. God can make you godly parents. I didn't say perfect, I said godly. And you'll see that fruit in your children. You'll see that fruit in the church. You'll see that fruit in your life. Why? Because you understand the word of God. And you'll go forth and multiply. raise your home for the glory of God. But let me say this, to balance this out, there may be young ladies, young men God doesn't want you to marry. And you better resolve that. Live for God the rest of your days. I got an aunt that never married, Christian school teacher, all those years, never married. I got a step aunt, missionary in Africa for 30 years, came home to take care of her mama, still serves in her church diligently, comes to hear me preach in Harrisburg, never married. I've known godly people that never married. But if that's not for you, you better make sure you marry right. You better make sure you have a fruitful marriage, a fruitful home, a fruitful relationship. There's no telling what God can do. Back to the message. You get saved, there's no telling what God could do.
Oh. Amen.
I don't want to see you for what you are. I want to see you for what you can be. I believe God can see what you can be. I believe God can see what you should be. If you're willing. Been here all week preaching. Been here all week laboring with the rose myself. Some been troubled, some been turned inside out. Whatever God's dealt with you about, you just need to get it settled and get it right.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
It's just that simple.
Come on.
There's no rest till you get it simple. Swallow your pride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to speak to one person in particular. You know who you are. You may as well swallow your pride. Everybody knows. You can't hide it. You can't hide it. Jesus is tenderly calling today.
Amen.
The call has come. Amen, sister.
Amen.
Spirit and the bride say, come.
Amen.
Zacchaeus, come down. Amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We haven't done this all week. I'm going to give you one word of invitation. It's late. Some of you need to leave. You need to leave. Some of y'all just junk your pride. Come. Do you need to come?